Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 5. Jumavya kudyamanaste Tapo dipita manyava Mukato vayam agnimcha Sastujustat didakshaya Jumevya, onto the trees. Krudhyamanaha, being very angry. Te, they, the 10 sons of Prachinibahi. Tapa dipita manyavaha, whose anger was inflamed because of long austerities. Mukataha, from the mouth. Vayam, wind. Agnim, fire. Cha, and. Sastiju, they created. Tat, those forests. Didikshaya, with the desire to burn. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because of having undergone long austerities in the water, the Prachetas were very angry at the trees, desiring to burn them to ashes. They generated wind and fire from their mouths. Purport. Here the word tapo dipita manyavaha indicates that persons who have undergone severe austerities, tapasya, are endowed with great mystic power, as evinced by the Prachetas, who created fire and wind from their mouths. Although devotees undergo severe tapasya, however they are vimanyavaha, sadavaha, which means that they are never angry. They are always decorated with good qualities. Bhagavatam 3.25.21 states, Titikshava karunaka shrida savadehinam ajata sastrava santa sadava sadabhushanaha. A sadhu, a devotee, is never angry. Actually, the real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya, austerity, is forgiveness. Although a Vaishnava has sufficient power in tapasya, he does not become angry when put into difficulty. If one undergoes tapasya, but does not become a Vaishnava, however, one does not develop good qualities. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Ravan also perform great austerities, but they did so to demonstrate their demoniac tendencies. Vaishnavas must meet many opponents while preaching the glories of the Lord, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that they not become angry while preaching. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this formula, Chunadapi Sunichena, Torodapi Suisena, Amani Madina, Kirtana Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Then they can preach the glories of the Lord without difficulty. The devotee has many qualities, and he can exhibit them in any way. This purport here is talking about how the devotee is never angry, and he's always tolerant. But many times we see within the Bhagavatam, and even with our Srila Prabhupada, he will get angry sometimes. There's a story with when Prabhupada was met with they invited a professor of Hinduism to meet with Prabhupada, have a discussion. So he invited him, he sat him down, and he says, "You're a professor of Hinduism, so can you explain to us what is Hinduism?" So this professor goes, "Well, it's very hard to say, it's very confusing, it's a very complicated subject." So then he looked to his disciple, Bhakti Srutamada Goswami. "So what do we call this?" And he said, "This is cheating, Prabhupada." "That's right, you're a cheater." You are a professor of Hinduism, but you cannot explain Hinduism. Therefore, you are a cheater. And a big fight, you know, took place. He started shouting back, Prabhupada. He got more angry. He said, no, you're a cheater, this and that. And he got more angry, this professor got more angry. And he kept going back and forth, back and forth. Then Brahmananda came involved. And he's big, he's like, you know, like a wrestler. And then he got to the professor. He says, you better leave before you cause more offense. They invited him as a guest and then, you know, asked him to leave after getting angry. And so one may think, especially when we preach now, there's, oh, we disturbed him. Oh, great professor from the university. This is not good. But Virendra Sarup, who was also at that conversation, 20 years later, he actually met this professor. He met him. And he was thinking, oh, maybe I have to apologize for Prabhupada or explain what happened. So he remembers the meeting, obviously, with Prabhupada. And he said that, actually, your Prabhupada, he was right. He was correct. So sometimes the anger is used by the devotee. But it's usually out of, like, it's only out of love. It's not out of control. Whereas the materialists, they're undergoing the influence of lust. Kama esha, krodha esha. Rajaguna samubha, by contact the mode of passion, then they are affected by this lust which is followed by anger. Mahashana mahapa, mahavidhinam, ihavarinam. This is the all-devouring enemy of this world. That's what puts us into this anger. And the example given in the purport of Hiranyakashipu and Ravan. Hiranyakashipu was only thinking about satisfying his lust, apmeyendriya, pritivanchita, by the calm. That is lust when trying to satisfy the senses of the body. But krishendriya priti chitare premana, that by satisfying the senses of Krishna, then that is real love. So when Hiranyakashipu was anything that would go out of his realm of sense enjoyment or control, then great anger would be demonstrated just by the lifting of his eyebrow. The demigods would shiver in fright from Hiranyakashipu. But if we look at Prahlad Maharaj, he had great love for the Lord, always remembering the Lord. And he wasn't shaken at all by the anger of Hiranyakashipu. With that remembrance and constant devotion to the Lord, he exhibited this tolerance, this titiksha. So to himself, he didn't experience any feeling of, why is he doing this to me? Or why is God letting me going through this suffering? Usually we suffer and we start to blame God. God, why did you do this to me? I remember we took a flight and we were coming from London to Prague. And then, usually we go through the security and then we start doing Harinam. And we chant through the duty-free shops and everything. So as we're going through, one lady stopped us and she says, oh, you're Hare Krishna, you're from ISKCON. Oh, so nice to see you. Then she started expressing her doubts that I had a brother, a cousin who passed away. Why does God do this? Why does God do this to us? So the anger may not be at a person, but sometimes it's at God as well. This is how the conditioned soul gets confused and doesn't know what to do with his life. He's always undergoing this cycle of suffering, one after the other, either from himself, from others, or from natural disturbances, from birth, death, old age, and disease. He's caught up in this because of that main focus of identifying with the body and trying to satisfy the senses. So that is pretty much what the materialist goes through. But let's look at the devotee more and different instances where, due to love for Krishna, then anger is displayed and when tolerance is displayed. So I want to leave it, make it more interactive. So can anyone think of an incident in Sastra with Srila Prabhupada or some devotees where anger was displayed out of service or love to Krishna? Yes. Yes.
Some of the ones that I find very interesting is in the 60s and 70s when the devotees were doing Harinam in New York City. At that time it was quite dangerous actually to be in the street, because there were all kinds of different gangs and you know, skinheads and Nazis. So some of the, so like Lakshmi Nishinga Prabhu and other devotees who were on the Radha Dhamanar party, they were telling me how sometimes they would have to fight on the street because these gangs would come and try to beat up the devotees. And so in that, and it was like they were very angry, you know, how are you trying to hurt Krishna's devotees, and why are you trying to stop us? We're just singing and dancing. So in that instance, it was required to, you know, defend the devotees and protect the yagya.
Thank you. Anyone else? Some incident of great anger, service of the Lord. Yeah.
When this initiation or the inauguration of the Amsterdam Temple took place, and this the arrangements have been poor by the devotees, Prabhupada was becoming extremely angry about about that, and he didn't care about that there also have been the camera team, the TV have been there, and everyone was looking at him and was amazed about how angry he was. Yeah. But it was pure; it was not because of himself, but it was because he cared for Krishna.
That was the first example I was thinking as well. I have the story here. You want to read it? You can read it up. Yeah. Thank you for bringing it up. I was going to talk about, I was thinking maybe it was a better example, but anyway. Okay, so this is, it's called Prabhupada Getting Angry. When Srila Prabhupada visited the ISKCON Temple in Amsterdam in July 1972, he agreed to the devotees' request to install deities of Lord Jagannath. Due to the temple's leader's mismanagement, however, the event turned into a fiasco. TV cameramen were present, as well as reporters from the biggest newspapers in the city, and the temple room was crowded with guests. But when Prabhupada came into the temple room and sat to perform the yagya, he saw many discrepancies. "Where are the fruits and grains?" he asked. The temple president replied that the fruits had all been used in the fruit salad. Prabhupada became angry. "Where are the flowers?" he asked. The reply was, "We forgot." "Who is responsible for this?" Prabhupada demanded. In his transcendental anger, Prabhupada was not the least bit intimidated by the presence of the TV, press, and guests. He was more concerned about Lord Jagannath and the installation, and his disciples' incompetence. "Well, Prabhupada," stammered the temple president, "they didn't follow my instructions." "What instructions?" said Prabhupada loudly. "Who is responsible for this? Which rascal?" The devotees present were all frightened by Prabhupada's anger. His eyes widened, and the devotees felt it was like the wrath of Lord Nrisimhadev. Despite the mistakes, Prabhupada proceeded with the ceremony. But when it came time to actually place the deities on the altar, major miscalculations came evident. The devotees suddenly discovered that the altar they had built was too small. The deities could not fit. The pujaris closed the curtains, while half a dozen devotees rushed behind the altar to make emergency alterations. As Srila Prabhupada, the media people and the large crowd waited, sounds of banging and chopping emanated from behind the closed curtain. The whole throne had been taken apart and carried to a corner of the hall. Finally, the curtain opened and the deities were placed on the altar. The deities were dressed and decorated very plainly, and Prabhupada's visage remained displeased. But after his initial fiery expressions, his anger abated. He proceeded with the ceremony, chanting the mantras and delivering a full Krishna conscious lecture. At this time, he also awarded the sannyas order to the Amsterdam temple present. Due to the density of the crowd and the heat and smoke from the fire, the unventilated room became uncomfortable for everyone. By now, Srila Prabhupada was beyond such discomforts. In fact, he also seemed undisturbed as smoke filled the room, and the ceremony continued for installing Lord Jagannath in his Amsterdam temple. Hare Krishna Das interview. Hare Krishna Das also relates that this incident gave him lasting impressions of Prabhupada's qualities. If the temple manager had not made so many mistakes, he realized, then there would have been no cause for Prabhupada's becoming so angry in front of all the guests. Nevertheless, it also revealed that Prabhupada did not care as much about the audience as he did for Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. The devotees were able to see how Prabhupada was actually aloof from public opinion. They remember this in their preaching when comparing Prabhupada to other gurus. They could understand better now that Srila Prabhupada was completely different from Swamis who became involved in various public causes and political controversies. Prabhupada was beyond all of that. Completely renounced and detached, he was concerned only with pleasing Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness. So, yeah. Nice story. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any other examples of devotees exhibiting anger out of love for Krishna? Anyone can think of? Sastra. Yeah, microphone for him.
Hare Krishna. One devotee in Mexico, he in the Vyasa Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he reading pastime from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and in that time the community calling to Maharaj Simha Guru, no, because he was like always in this mood, no, like Nisringhadev, no, he want to kill like demons, no, like, and he always how say fighting with the impersonalist or this kind of materialist people, no? And I don't remember all past times, but I remember when this devotee explained how he was tall. Maharaj was very tall, and he take the people, materialist people or impersonalist, in the air, no? In the, like puppets, no? Like, why are you preaching this? No, why are you preaching that? No, this is Jose, like cheating, no? Like, and they showing this love for Krishna in the mood of Hare Krishna. In the mood of Jose, angry or something.
Yeah, I'm angry.
Like, why are you preaching this? And also I saw many videos of Prabhupada. Last days I posted, I think yesterday, I was looking videos from Prabhupada, and I posted in Facebook this kind of videos of Prabhupada. No, when Prabhupada is preaching very heavy, no, to the devotees in the all, he doesn't care, no, about the who like or who's criticize him, no, in. He doesn't care. He just say, no, the truth, no, and that's it. No, he doesn't care, no. And I in this video says, I want to show you this video, but I don't have my phone here.
It's so. Okay. That's okay. Thank you.
It's a very nice video because it's like in this mood, Prabhupada is going more deep in your heart, no. Yeah. This destruction is going more deep. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you for the example. Okay, so we can see, now we have Panchatattva, we can see that also Lord Chaitanya also exhibited great anger many times, but the most famous is that when Jagai Marai hurt Lord Nityananda, he came with his Sudarshan Chakra, who did this? And he was ready to cut their heads off. But now we see the quality of the devotee with tolerance. Lord Nityananda tolerated so much out of love for Lord Chaitanya. Out of love for Lord Chaitanya, to spread Lord Chaitanya's glories as Patiti Pavan. He saw these fallen souls of Jagai Marai, born in Brahmin families, you know, doing actually everything you're not supposed to do. Raping, burning villages down, beating anyone up. If there was no one to beat up, they'd beat each other up, drinking alcohol. Everything. So he wanted to deliver them. And when he got struck, then he said, I'm not angry at you. All I want you is to chant the holy name. Haribo, Haribo. In this, you can see in this, was it Nimai Pandit in that movie? Haribo, Haribo, I'm not, you know. And the Lord came with Sudarshan Chakra. And Lord Nityananda fell at his feet. He says, no, my Lord, do not kill these fallen souls. You've come in this age to kill the demoniac mentality. If you have to kill Jagai Marai, you have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Because everyone in Kali Yuga is a Jagai Marai. Please, deliver them. Please. And actually, Jagai, he saved me. Marai was going to strike me again. So then he delivered him. Then Marai, he begged mercy from Lord Nityananda so he could get delivered by Lord Chaitanya. It's an amazing passing here. Lord Chaitanya actually embraced Jagai Marai and he absorbed all the sinful reactions of Jagai Marai and he turned black. And then he asked Lord Nityananda, how do I look? You look like black, like Krishna. Then big kirtan happened. And then actually what happened when all the sins were absorbed by the Lord, then Chitragupta, who's taking the records of all the sinful reactions, actually it was so difficult to keep up with the sinful reactions of Jagai Marai, thousands and thousands of scribes trying to keep up, it was very difficult. So then when this happened, when Lord Chaitanya delivered them, Chitragupta, he fainted out of ecstasy. And then he told Yamaraj about it. He also fainted. How is this possible? Then, when Lord Chaitanya was looking in this black complexion, then a big kirtan started. An amazing kirtan. All the demigods came, even Yamaraj came, all in disguise as humans. Lord Shiva also came in the form of a naked sannyasi with his dreadlocks dancing everywhere like this. It was an amazing incident that took place. But the main thing that Lord Chaitanya instructed Jagai Marai, it's like, yes, I've delivered you, but no more sinful reaction. So you can see that with us, that we're being born in Kali Yuga, it's kind of natural to be offensive to the Lord, to commit sinful activities, to go after sense gratification. But by following these four regular principles and chanting the holy name of the Lord, then we are always within the mercy of the Panchatattva. It's just like that great combination of the tolerance and mercy of Lord Nityananda and that strong love that Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting for Krishna and his devotees, especially for his devotees. So yeah, I want to touch more on the subject of tolerance now. So does anyone can tell an example of tolerance by devotees or by the Lord? Yes. Haridasa, cool.
Yeah. Haridas Thakur, and he was beaten on this market, on this 22 market, and then he realized, oh, actually, you want to kill me? Oh, you should tell me sooner. I will leave body sooner. And then it's like, okay, so I will leave body because I make difficulty for you.
Amazing. Amazing tolerance. Any other examples? Ladies side. This side. Hang on. Give it to the Matajis. It's right over here.
One example that can be both Krishna's anger and Krishna's tolerance is the story of Shishupal, where Krishna tolerated Shishupal's offenses for 100 times, but then eventually the Sudarshan Chakra came out. Yeah. But he did tolerate him he should have killed him at once, but he tolerated for 100 times.
Yeah. It's very interesting pastime, because actually Krishna was ready to tolerate for forever these insults, but because the Rajasuya sacrifice was taking place to install Maharaj Yudhisthira as like supremacy of the whole world, many other kings didn't like what Shishupal was saying, so they were ready to kill him. So any blood would have fell on the Yagya arena, then, you know, there's no more sacrifice. You have to do the challenge horse again, collect more gold again. You can collect all this ghee again, call the demigods again. You have to do so much work again. So then, with the Sudarshan Chakra, chopped his head off and no blood would fall. I don't know how he did it, but he's God. He can do anything. So yeah, thank you. That's an amazing example, actually, of the Lord. Yeah, Balavanta again. Yeah, no, go for it, mate. Balavanta's got another tolerance example.
Hare Krishna. One of the best examples for me is Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva is Krishna himself. And he was preaching for many places. He was traveling for many villages and many cities, many different places. And he want to show to the people how to be focused in Krishna consciousness. But I don't know, he adopted like a mood of a homeless.
Jada yoga.
Yeah, and he was meditating in the villages like this. He was chanting, you know, Hare Krishna. And other mantras, I don't know which other mantras. But he was chanting, and the materialist people, they urine on him, no? They was urine and throwing excrement, or how you call it, excrement? Or, yeah, this second behind, no? And he was full of urine and excrement, this. And he was putting in the body the excrement and urine of the material people. And Prabhupada explained in the purport how he was using this like protection, the urine and excrement from the material people, like protection from them, you know, because he smelled so bad, you know, he was smelling so bad. Mm. And then material
Hang
people.
I have to stop you there, because Lord Rishabhdev, he's been the Lord. Actually, he took this Agra Vrata, which means the python Vrata. So he wouldn't even care about his bodily necessities. And actually, he would lie in his own urine and stool. But because he was Supreme Lord, his stool smelled very nice. Yeah, but roses, and you can smell for many miles. So actually, if he get any, because he would walk like a madman, then people wouldn't appreciate him for who he really was. So then they'll treat him wrongly. But this didn't affect him because of not identifying with the body. You find the same with Judd Barrett too. Great tolerance he exhibited. And with this pastime, when his brothers put him as a scarecrow in the field, And then there was some dacoits who wanted to do a yagya or a sacrifice for Goddess Kali. So they needed to find like a animal like human. So they thought this Jat Bharat would make a good specimen, a good sacrifice. And Jat Bharat didn't complain at all. Yep, take me. He had no identification with this material world, completely absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord within. So as he was laid down, ready to be sacrificed, you know, to come down, so Kali or Durga is known as Vaishnavi. She's actually a devotee of the Lord. And seeing that the pure devotee is about to be offended in this way, she acted in anger. She acted in anger out of love for her Lord and the Lord's devotees, and chopped all the heads off of all these dacoits and drank the blood from their from their heads. You can see it's a very nice picture in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many hands and eyes. And that's why I like Srimad Bhagavatam so much. It's actually everything's in there. It's not just like a book where it's talking about love of God, but it's also there's violence, there's politics, there's romance, there's humor, there is espionage, so many different subjects that you probably get from your DVD set or your Netflix collection. You can find all that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, full entertainment. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not just a book you read academically and then, yes, I've read the book, and then you tick it off the list. No, Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. It's actually an experience of Krishna. You're associating directly with Krishna. Every syllable has so much meaning. With this explanation, 64 meanings of the Atmaram verse, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that each syllable actually has so much meaning. You know, it can mean Krishna, and so many different meanings can be derived. So one can, as actually supposed to do Nityam Bhagavat Sevya, to be completely absorbed in the Lord's pastimes with his devotees. And so if you want to put this like rocket boosters into your spiritual life, then dedicate a good amount of time in your day to Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, either through reading, applying, or serving the spiritual master, the person Bhagavatam. In this way, even if you don't understand these purports that are there in the Bhagavatam, they are revealed to you within your life. Srimpata Sakata Krishna Punya Savana Kirtana Hiranata Stohi Abhajani Vidunoti Sahitsatam. That the Lord sitting with the heart, in the heart as a super soul, sees that the honest devotee is very eager to hear his messages. So Krishna, he sees you hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, trying to follow the order of the spiritual master. Oh, this person is trying to get to know and love me, but he is having trouble. Teshyam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipuvakam dadami buddha yogatam yenamam upiyantite. By that constant engagement with priti, with that affectionate. So we don't have affection for the Lord, but the spiritual master has affection for the Lord, and by assisting his loving service, dadami buddha yogatam, he gives you the intelligence by which you can come to him. So the same thing, by serving the Bhagavatam, book Bhagavatam, reading these purports, trying to get to know him, Krishna arranges your life so you can understand the purport, so you can know Krishna. It's actually a full interactive experience. It's like you're diving into like a video game or something, and you know, you do different act, you find out different stages of spiritual advancement, and then Krishna gives you a challenge or an experience where you not just like understand or philosophically, but you can feel it, that you are an eternal servant of Krishna and Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. You actually experience reality instead of illusion, where every step's a dance, every word's a song, every day's a festival. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is also, because I'm a Harinam devotee, so I'm going to throw in the Harinam stuff in. Vyakta Kari Bhagavate Kari Bhara Bhara Kali Yuga Dhamma Nama Sankirtana Sara. The Bhagavatam is constantly revealing that the essence of Dharma in Kali Yuga is Nam Sankirtan, Hari Nam Sankirtan. You'll see that from the verses, from every verse is glorifying the Yuga Dharma, Hari Nam Sankirtan. This is the only way one can attain Krishna Prema in this age. This is the only way one can be delivered in Kali Yuga. And we will experience so many things in our spiritual life. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is so merciful, seeing these extreme examples of these devotees, of how they surrender unto the Lord. Seeing these extreme examples, what it means, this Trinadipi Sunachena, this to be humble, is to know that you're from Kali Yuga, and there's nothing else you can do but chant the holy name of the Lord. This is the only thing that works. Mahaguna, Kaladesha Nidhirajan. It's the Mahaguna. There's an ocean of faults in Kali Yuga. And the Mahaguna, Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramajet. By Krishna Kirtan, then one attains the supreme goal of that Purojana, the love of God, that Krishna Prem. That's available there. And what you'll find with these two activities of Harinam Sankirtan and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it's your consciousness comes completely absorbed. And anything that your body dictates you is very easily tolerable. And you know exactly how to act in every circumstance. This is the most amazing thing about Srimad Bhagavatam. It's creating a revolution in the consciousness, in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization. So, I will stop, because it's been too long. So, is there any comments, any more comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you for last class. Recently, maybe 2 months ago, one Mataji visited our temple. I don't remember her name, but I think she's a little bit famous. She was teaching her 2 sons just with the Bhagavatam and mathematics. And with 12 years, they went to college because they were so intelligent, because she said everything is in the Bhagavatam. They learn tolerance, they learn how to deal with persons, the false ego, I mean all the subjects. So now when they go into school, they can immediately take up everything, because in Bhagavatam everything is inside. And she tried to talk to us that we should educate our kids only with the Bhagavatam. Also language, they got the English skills from the Bhagavatam. Robert's English is very simple. In the beginning they just read the verses, like stories like Dhruva Maharaj and or Prahlad Maharaj. But when they get older, then they also read the purports. And the mother reads, and the son reads, and the father, and so they have together study the Bhagavatam. And in ISKCON there are some programs already, they are applying this project. I don't know, one of their sons is now a famous scientist, and he used his abilities.
Is this Radhika Rama?
Yeah, Radhika Rama.
Yeah, he went to university when he was like 16 or 13 or 14, yeah.
With 12 he went to college.
Okay, and 12 he went to college.
And they went to the university head, and he said, yeah, for him it's okay, or only if the teacher is okay with it. Then it's, because people, they are older, they are 18 and they are 12.
Yeah.
But it worked out.
Yeah.
So we can see only with Bhagavatam everything is possible, everything is inside.
You don't miss out on anything. Yeah. Has Radhika Raman Prabhu came here? Yeah? To Slovenia? No? No, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, it's a very good point. Yes, we think we miss out on the material world, or what's the happenings in the material world. And I was discussing this with Gudrun, that if you look at the materialists now, it's kind of normal to be a vegetarian. Even they're pushing for vegan, to do yoga, to do meditation, whereas during when Prabhupada first came to the West, you know, to be vegetarian, they thought you'd die. You don't eat meat, you're going to die. You know, where's your protein? They complain so much. Let alone meditation and yoga, that was like only for weird people. But now it's a very common thing. And now he was saying that in Berlin and Alexanderplatz, they have this big vegan market. So many tents are there, many stalls are there. And there is a person that has a nursery for like older cows and just protecting them. On their own, they're making the decision, I will protect cows. So obviously they've been in touch with Prabhupada's books, because no one has given this idea in the West of, wow, we should protect the cow. There's nothing at all that gives them any material idea to do this. So just by the influence of Prabhupada's movement, then you can see that the materialists are actually aiming for what Prabhupada established through Krishna consciousness. He's the light years ahead of the rest of the world. But the naive thing that we may have is that, oh, now the into yoga, now we'll start to do yoga. Oh, now the into kirtan, now we'll do kirtan more. You know, no, it's actually Prabhupada established the highest, most revolutionary thing. And if we just attach ourselves to the principles he laid down, then the materialists will come chasing after us. They're like, wow, you are light years ahead of us. We want to do what you do. Even they started doing their own morning program. Yes. It's called Daybreakers. They have it in New York and they have it in the UK. It's called Morning Glory. So they have like a morning program where it starts about 5 o'clock and they do like a yoga session, some meditative thing. Then they have like a big rave, but there's no alcohol or drugs and stuff. And they just dance and be happy like this. And then they also have like some sort of like, it's kind of like a Bhagavatam class. Everyone has like their inspirational quote or something. And then like this feels like, all right, think of this positive vibe in your day or something like this, you know. And everyone feels good. And then they have all this like vegetarian, vegan food, like healthy food. Like, you know, we have breakfast, prasadam, and they have this vegan, healthy food. Then they go to work. And they're paying $40, $50 to do this. Yeah. This is their morning program. And there's all, the companies are approaching these people to do it in their companies for their employees at work. This is their, you know, and we think, no, we shouldn't do it, like morning program and stuff. And we should try and connect to them more. No, we should connect to Prabhupada, what he laid down. Exactly. If we get it exactly more and more and more, then we'll see like a big, you know, that revolution that we want. This is Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. Okay. Gantarashima Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Brahmanande.